WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
A more than 18% increase in homelessness this year. It blames the lack of affordable housing as well as natural disasters and a surge of migrants, especially in cities like Denver, Chicago, and New York. Murder charges filed in New York City against a homeless man accused of setting a subway rider on fire. Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez.
Murder in the first degree carries the possibility of life without parole. It's the most serious statute in New York State law.
Millions of Americans are returning home from the holidays, including these two at the airport in Atlanta.
My mom and stepdad made sure we got here early enough.
Everybody's been super nice, pretty straightforward. We just dropped off our bags, so yeah. Let's see what security's like.
Another round of bad weather in the forecast could hold things up tomorrow. Texas is expected to be hardest hit. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Legislature may consider the legalization of medical marijuana again in the next session. With new district maps, Republican state lawmakers hold a smaller majority in both chambers of the legislature, and some have expressed a willingness to engage in medical marijuana discussions again. The topic has been considered in the past, but lawmakers were unable to come to an agreement on how best to regulate medical marijuana. A previous plan was opposed by Democratic legislators as too restrictive. As whooping cough continues to spread, Wisconsin has seen one of the worst outbreaks in the country. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Wisconsin trails only New York and Pennsylvania in the number of reported cases. Department of Health Services data shows nearly 2,400 reported cases this year, a huge increase from the 51 reported cases last year. Nationwide, the number of whooping cough cases are the highest they've been since 2014, and in Wisconsin, they're the highest they've been since 2012. The man involved in a train and SUV crash near Elk Mound earlier this month has been pronounced deceased. According to the Dunn County Sheriff's Office, 80-year-old Gregory Nerbovig of Eau Claire was taken to the hospital following the December 12th crash and died on Monday as a result of the injuries he sustained. The Sheriff's Office's initial investigation found that he had failed to yield at a stop sign at the railroad crossing before the collision occurred. Two children who were passengers in the car were also taken to the hospital. Barron County authorities are reminding residents to check ice conditions after two people fell in the water on Wednesday. According to a press release, the Barron County Sheriff's Department responded to the fall near Chitek at around 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. When they arrived, they found the two people who had fallen through the ice while riding a UTV had already been helped out of the water by family members. One of them was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The other was treated and released at the scene. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers head to Minnesota. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers face the Vikings at 3:25 Sunday in Minneapolis. I asked quarterback Jordan Love, besides getting a higher seed in the playoffs, how much does the rivalry motivate the Packers heading into this game?
I mean, all the motivation is right there. It's a division opponent. Obviously, they beat us first game, so we're going into their place, and we want to get some of that revenge that we're looking for.
Matt LaFleur said that Jaire Alexander will likely not play again this week. NBA, the Bucks let one slip away at home last night to the Brooklyn Nets in the final 3 minutes, 111-105. Brooke Lopez, who had 20 points, was held to just two in the second half.
They definitely changed our flow and got us away from what we do. You know, it's not about me getting shots or anything like that, but just us being aggressive, playing side to side, you know, and hitting whoever's open, getting guys open, available, getting their guys off them.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Areas of dense fog today, with scattered showers lifting through late this afternoon. Becoming widespread and steadier rain through the overnight, we are looking at rainfall totals around a half an inch to 3/4 of an inch, with a chance of a wintry mix and some snow falling tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, The Law Review, will join me to discuss if the president-elect should be disqualified under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is the 27th of December, Friday, 2024, TGIF. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here in hour number two, taking a look back at what makes Wisconsin great, the year in review. Pre-recorded this show for you a couple days ago before the holidays here got underway. Hopefully you're having great holidays. We'll be back with you with an all-new live show on Monday. Looking forward to that. But here in hour two, we go back to April of this year. Our friend Trygve Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, we went back to his alma mater, the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. Of course, in Eau Claire, sat down with Chancellor Jim Schmidt and others to talk about our great university system. We're going to bring you that interview in its entirety. And also, Mr. Zommers, you have a board game of the week.
Yeah, Dungeons & Dragons was invented in Wisconsin, and so we talk about that at the end of the hour. Also, with the UW-Eau Claire, don't forget that we talked to the chancellor and brought up Trygve and Pat's transcripts from the university.
Yes, we certainly did. So enjoy this, our What Makes Wisconsin Great Year in Review show. Again, back with you with an all-new show on Monday. Enjoy. That came in, not necessarily maybe to see Trygve or I, but came in and we talked a little bit about life and about what makes Wisconsin great. So thank you to Braden and the entire staff to the Houghtons, right? Houghtons,
yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, pub and
we even made some new fans.
Yeah.
We did.
It was really great. So
the thing is, if people come out to Dooley's in Eau Claire, what they're going to find? Todd and I, we're a lot of fun to drink beer with and hang out with.
And just talk about what makes Wisconsin great. So thanks to all those at Houghton's last night, and in particular, Braden, our great bartender. We told him we'd give him a shout-out, and he's spreading the word about the show and about Civic Media around La Crosse. So we made our way through a snowstorm last night. Took us a while. Stayed at the beautiful Hampton Inn near campus here, and we are here on campus today, and that is our focus. What makes Wisconsin great? And I think for Trygve and I, and for so many people, it is our education system, our K-12, our public education system. We're going to have the Eau Claire Public School Superintendent Johnson with us a little bit later on in this show. But right now, we are honored to be joined by our host here on campus, none other than Chancellor Jim Schmidt. Chancellor, thank you so much for your fantastic hospitality, and thank you for letting us promote and be on your campus at UW-Eau Claire.
Well, we welcome all perspectives to our campus, and let's just point out, we didn't have a snowstorm here. Nothing stuck. So it's all those southern cities that had all that terrible winter weather.
That's right. And kind of right. I mean, Eau Claire has not had that bad of weather. I think we got more snow in Madison this year than you guys did up here.
No question. I think we only had 7 inches of snow, I think I heard, until this last weekend where we got pummeled with about 10.5 inches. But it's gone. Yeah. And not all of us shoveled as well as we should have because it melted awfully quickly. Campus was prepared.
Well, I just want to say right up front, thank you. This is the alma mater for Trygve Olson.
Olson, and also joining us via StreamYard just up the road at Lake Wissota because he has a couple of big interviews himself. Our colleague from Civic Media on Up North News every morning 6 until 8, Pat Kreitlow. Pat, I think the campus may have changed a little bit since you and Trigvy hung around here, but the Chancellor is still getting it done, still a great place to get an education.
Chancellor Jim always gets it done. It's so nice to see him and thank him again for hosting us here. Yeah, there have been a few changes, but let me tell you, your show starts off with the song Freedom from Wham, 1984, right in the middle of my time there. It takes me back already. I've got those old boat shoes on. We're walking our way down to either Trader and Trapper or to Shenanigans. And that theme of yours just put me in the right frame of mind. I almost never miss an opportunity to get back down to the Eau Claire campus. There was just a little too much work for Up North News to be done today, but I will be happy to join you at Dooley's tonight at the site. Back in my day, it was the camaraderie before it burned down,
really?
And Dooley's is now taking its place, but Fifth and Water is going to be a great place to hang out tonight with you.
Well, great. We look so forward to it. We have a few people, a studio audience here at UW Eau Claire, too. We welcome all of the folks here hanging out here and joining us, fans of Civic Media. So we appreciate that. Chancellor, again, thank you in particular to Jake on your staff. From the moment we set actually before we set foot on campus, and a shout out as well to, we're calling her our segment producer this week, Chris Andrews, who has been with us, Trigvy and I, through political times, spent time working for UW System. And between your staff and Chris, nothing but hospitable. It is a beautiful campus. We have iconic Schofield Hall right behind us. Trigvy mentioned this. When you step on the Eau Claire campus here, it feels like a university of higher learning. There's a vibe here.
There absolutely is. When you talk to students, you know, I always ask them, why did you pick Eau Claire? He said, I stepped on the campus and it just felt right. People are friendly. They're outgoing. We've created this kind of like beautiful little oasis right along the Chippewa Valley and the Putnam Bluff. Got the historic Third Ward neighborhood close by. You know, that sense of place helps people have that sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love is if you have a tough chemistry exam, not like I ever did, laugh. It's only about 50 steps into Putnam Park, and you can feel like you're in the middle of a wilderness, just a few steps into that protected parkland or walk down the river, and all of a sudden you get life back in balance.
Yeah. I know Pat Kreitlow's talked about it on his show. We've talked about it on ours as well. You know, we're going through times in the state where I feel that wrongly, but that's open for debate, but I would say wrongly, higher education, public education, is somewhat under attack by certain folks in this state. We're here to talk about the positives, the value, and why people should look at UW Eau Claire and the entire University of Wisconsin system, both from bettering individuals economically, but also it just makes you a better person. When you talk to people, when you talk to students, whether they're kids come out of high school, whether they're a returning adult that might want to come back and finish their education, what's your pitch to be a Blue Gold?
Well, let me tell you, I remember stepping foot back onto campus July 1, 2013, you know, parked my car in the visitor lot because it was my first day as chancellor and I hadn't had my parking pass yet. And those are very important on a university campus. And I remember walking up to Schofield Hall about 7:30 in the morning and I felt this great sense of weight because during that interview process, I had a chance to meet with faculty, staff, students, alumni, community members. One thing that came really true is this campus is something special. Everything you read about a university campus and the commitment their faculty and staff have to students, it's true in spades here. Mm-hmm. Our faculty and staff run through walls if it means giving those students the best possible opportunity. And the problem is it sounds like every place, but it isn't here. Take a look at what we call our high-impact experiences that we measure. More than 70% of our students have at least one internship before they're done. Almost half of our students do undergraduate research with a faculty member, usually outside of the curriculum. We are named number one for undergraduate research in the country among all master's level schools. In fact, we held the international conference here a year ago this past spring. And finally, we tend to rank among the top in the country for study abroad experiences. Mm-hmm. Number 12 among all master's level schools for those students who spend at least a semester abroad. You know, and that ends up making a real difference. The number of students that we have are ambassadors. representing various countries, because some were international students here. When I was in Japan, we had a partnership visit there. Great situation, but we made a side trip to go to Tokyo because the Panamanian ambassador to Japan was a blue gold, an economics student. So we run them in all crosses of life. These things make a difference. And, you know, look no further than return on investment.
Right.
And our most recent placement survey, 99% placement rate.
Wow.
You know, there's a few people that aren't looking for a job, right?
Yeah.
So those are students who are in got a job or in graduate school. More than 70% of those had a job before they shook my hand at Zorin Arena as they crossed the stage. More impressive to me is the students this past year, 95%, and the year before is 97%, reported that the job they took was a part of their career goals.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole idea of our history students working at McDonald's is a bunch of junk.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff the culture wars raise up. You can come to Eau Claire and it's you know, college costs more than I'd like it to be. But if you look at public universities across the country, we are a bargain. Tuition's about $8,000 for in-state students.
Yeah.
The average student does not graduate with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. In fact, the average among all students is about $22,000. Do I wish it was none? Yes. But that $22,000 investment is going to pay off. Average starting salary of a student leaving UW-Eau Claire is about $55,000. And in today's dollars, if you've been out of school for 10 years, your average is over $100,000.
Yeah.
Now, I have to be careful when I talk about that on campus because we have a lot of professors who are saying, look, I got PhD and I've been working for 20 years and I'm nowhere near $100,000. And let me tell you, our faculty work darn hard and they're underpaid.
Right.
And so I try to give them all the love and support that I can, make sure we have facilities and the great students and create an atmosphere of learning, because the people who are here to make a difference. That's what gets us out of bed every morning.
About 2 minutes before I have to go to a one-minute break, and I'll the other side, I'm going to turn it over to Pat and Trigvy, the alums of Eau Claire. But before I do, I don't hold it against me, but I went to UW Richland, the two-year school, then to Platteville. And I used to come up here as a communication, and, you know, Kenny Anderson, the basketball coach up here, kept beating us. He was the only guy that would beat Bo Ryan consistently back in the day.
Yes. Mike Johnson was the one who was beating you, but you'll get to take that up. You'll get to take that up with Mike when he's on in a little bit.
But, you know, I went to a two-year school, started out. I know that Rice Lake is Barron, is a part of now this campus. Talk to him, because we have the international program at Richland. And to me, my growth as a person, Chancellor, was not only academic, it was an individual. Meeting people from all over the world, it changed my life. That has a value you cannot replicate.
100%. It, you know, I go to class. I want all of our students to go to class. But, you know, I tell people and they say, is a college education worth it? And I'm like, yes, do all of it. I said, if you don't want to spend any money, you can sit in our library, which is open to the public, and read for 4 years, and you're going to learn a lot. But the education process happens not only in the classroom, but it's on the bench. It's talking to other students, sharing perspective. You know, it's why I tell students to take their nose out of the phone, interact with each other. We're all hungry for that, and that's the difference. We have a large international population here. Our Barron County campus has a large international population is there. I'm proud that the Barron County campus is running in the black financially. There's actually more enrollment there than when we took the campus over, which
Congrats.
Is unusual.
Congrats.
And that campus and that community fully support it, and they're doing innovative things to make sure we can keep that important access point, not just in terms of two-year college, smaller class sizes. Faculty are really focused on helping students achieve wherever they need to be for their next step. But geographically, that campus is terribly important to the state, and the state's better off because it's there. That is the heart of the Wisconsin idea.
You ever think about running for governor, Chancellor?
I totally agree.
Trigvy and I talk about this all the time. We need cheerleaders for this state. 100%. Not left, not right. Cheerleaders for Wisconsin. And this, the message, what you're preaching, I mean, I'm in the choir saying amen. We'll come back to the other side. We're going to have Trigvy Olson and also Pat Kreitlow, alums of the Blue Golds. The chancellor has brought up their transcript. We'll go over that in detail when we come back.
No,
they're
not mine.
They're going to sing the fight
Please
song,
Please do
too.
Not do that.
It's the Todd Allball Show on location at UW Eau Claire on the Civic Media. You're listening to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show, our What Makes Wisconsin.
93.5 The Tap.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. It was an itsy-bitsy, yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show, our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tours year in review. Here now, more of the highlights of our great tours around Wisconsin from this past year.
We are joined by alums of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire from the Lincoln Project, a senior advisor thereof. Trigby Olson is here on campus. And joining us via StreamYard, another alum, our colleague here at Civic Media, Pat Kretlow, host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 to 8. And our special guest, the chancellor of the campus here at Eau Claire, Chancellor Jim Schmidt. Chancellor, again, thanks. I know you're a busy person. Thank you for taking time out for us and our statewide audience.
It's a lot of fun. Glad to be here.
We appreciate it. Pat and Trigby, you guys are alums. I'm going to turn it over to you, Pat, first, and then Trigby. What would you want to ask the chancellor today?
I've known Jim for quite some time here, so I would just instead ask him what's new, what should people know about UW-Eau Claire if they're planning to come here, you know, the changes that have come through. That would be the one thing, but you know, the other thing I'd point out as well and ask Jim to comment on is that, again, like you said, Todd, the whole notion of higher education has come in for somewhat of a bashing or a comeuppance, depending on your point of view, of people saying, well, not everybody needs to go to college, which has always been true, but now is said in a way that's, you know, almost, you know, snooty toward colleges, which is weird. But I would go even further to those folks that say, oh, what good is a liberal arts education? As somebody who got that, as somebody who appreciates the humanities, who enjoys learning how to learn, I think there's still plenty of room for that, Jim. I'll bet you agree that along with all the, there's a lot of specialization out there, but there is more than enough room in this modern digital age for classical learning and thinking.
No, there's no question about it. I'll take that last point first. So in my first 50 days on the job, I started on July 1, I met with 50 CEOs in the Chippewa Valley and extended region. And I toured their plants, talked to them. I asked them what kept them from expanding the Chippewa Valley. This is, it's talent. We need more talent. Tell me what you're looking for. And pretty soon, they're not talking about the key pieces. And each one of them uses these exact words, a few a little different. I repeat it. Looking for critical thinking skills, the ability to write and speak articulately, the ability to work with other people and teams, interpersonal skills, and problem-solving skills. They all said those same things, and those are the hallmarks of a liberal education. And I will tell you, when I'd asked them what their degrees were in, almost all of them were in the liberal arts. And I said, well, what do you think? Well, we need business. So they start listing the professional degrees, which are also important. But sometimes people with those degrees think they're something special. And they are special. Yeah. But it's because in those programs, they learn how to evolve, how to be nimble, how to be agile, how to surround yourself with other people that are able to take care of the specific skills you need. My first trip to Epic, people may have heard of them down in Verona, you know, world's largest medical record company or device company. And I'm meeting with their leadership, and I figured they're going to start beating me up. They're going to say, I need more computer science students, information systems students, and that's true. And we have expanded those. But they said, we're here to talk to you about English majors.
Wow.
And I said, really? And he said, yes, we can't seem to get English majors to apply. What? Tell me about that. Why is that important? He said, we're not a technology company.
Right.
We're a human interface company. Right. Our product only works as to how it works with doctors, nurses, and professionals, and their ability to help us understand and make that connection as opposed to the technology. It's what differentiates our product. And so they started a pilot project where they were using Eau Claire as their prime campus, where they're starting to talk to English majors, history majors, other humanities as early as their freshman year, say, do all of this because we want you to come work for a technology company. So that's an example.
And let me second that by telling you that being married to a physician, again, a Blue Gold, took all of her pre-med, you know, courses there at UW-Eau Claire, and has worked as a physician with every type of electronic medical records out there, Epic included, that, again, it's the science is all great. But if you can't communicate those ideas, if you can't communicate instructions, if you can't have a clear medical record in this case, you're going nowhere. So I'm really glad to hear that story and glad that you've played a role in that, Jim.
I would just add, as an Eau Claire English major myself, in my career, one of the most important things that was ever said to me was by a lady named Nadine St. Louis, who was chair of the English department here. And I never got to say thank you to her about it. I tried to, but she had passed away. But she said, I had her for Shakespeare. And at the start of the Shakespeare class, I don't know why I take this with me, she said, what you're going to learn about from King Lear is how to identify who's the daughter that you can trust when you're going mad and who are the ones that are out to get you, even though it may not seem like that. And that will be one of the most important lessons you take through life. And in my career, having two pieces, working at senior levels in politics and working with people fighting for democracy around the world, that is some of the most sage advice any human being ever gave me.
I was going to add, since Kratlow brought up pre-med, so one of the things that's new about UW-Eau Claire is we've had a partnership with Mayo Clinic now for 7 years. We're only the second university in the world with this agreement. Arizona State was the first. I think they tell you we've actually gone further. Mayo Clinic's goal for UW-Eau Claire is that we become the nation's number one pre-med school.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, say that again for those in the back,
please. Well, and I almost choke because I'm pretty audacious thinker, as you might understand. But their goal is we're the nation's number one pre-med school. And Mayo Clinic guards their brand stronger than any other organization I'm aware of. And I would argue that Mayo Clinic as a brand is maybe the most trusted, respected sign of quality of any brand worldwide. More people know Coca-Cola, but they trust Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
So they're very judicious with how they make that association. And they're putting their money where their mouth is. Their time is where it is. We just launched a Monday evening, the inaugural Mayo Medical Academy on our campus. And it's for interested students, both in college, high school, and adults in the community who think they might want to go to med school. It was capped at 150. It filled up immediately. They said, if this isn't your thing, when you leave, let them know that you're not going to come back because we got people waiting to come in. And we did this collaborative with Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic is investing in our new science and health science building. We received a $342 million appropriation from the state of Wisconsin, working with the divided legislature, governor. Think about what we have to get through that.
Yeah.
It'll be the largest investment the state of Wisconsin has ever made in any building of any size or scape anywhere in the state. I'm not proud that it's expensive. What I'm proud is those legislators and the governor decided this is an investment that was important to make. And we're going to make it at UW-Eau Claire because we like what they're doing. We like where they're going with it. And Mayo Clinic will have 10,000 square feet, 2,000 on each floor. And they're not building a box within a box that you have to get through a card reader. They purposely have made it entirely porous. And so they're throwing almost everything they have because what they have found is doctors and nurses and medical providers are better when they're challenged by young learners. And that was one of Mayo's principles. And guess what? They find out that they're retained. They've got a better life balance because they're energized and challenged by young learners. And so if you ask Governor, I'd support Rick Helmers for governor. He's a local CEO. We got almost 6,000 employees alone from Mayo Clinic in Eau Claire. If you ask him who's getting the better end of this partnership. He said he is, because we will get the world's greatest doctors who will come here, and day one we'll start doing research with a Mayo doctor and Eau Claire faculty member. You can't get that anywhere else. You can go to Johns Hopkins. That's what graduate students are doing. He'll say they're getting the better end of the deal, and I'll tell you, we are getting the better end of the deal. That's a sign of a good partnership, like a good marriage, where each one thinks they're getting the better end of the deal and want
to
keep.
You're listening
more.
To a special edition of the Todd Allball Show, our What Makes Wisconsin.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. With the new year right around the corner, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is working to find more creative solutions to affordable housing issues across the state. The agency has been providing funds through programs like the Community Development Investment and Idle Site Redevelopment Grants to convert buildings like former motels and commercial facilities into affordable housing units. Access to housing has been identified as one of the biggest challenges facing Wisconsin residents for 2025. As the holiday travel season begins to wind down, the Wisconsin Department of Motor Vehicles is once again reminding residents to upgrade to a real ID. Starting in May, regular driver's licenses or ID cards will not be accepted for flights or entering federal buildings and military bases. DMV officials say about 60% of eligible residents already have a real ID, which they started issuing in 2013. To get a real ID, residents will need to bring proof of their name, date of birth, address, and social security number to their local DMV office. Law enforcement authorities have released new details regarding the two-vehicle Dunn County crash that killed one and injured four on Tuesday. According to the Dunn County Sheriff's Office, the man who was killed in the collision has been identified as Correctional Officer Jeff Reynolds. Reynolds had been with the Sheriff's Office since 2007 and was on his way to a shift at the jail when the crash occurred. The driver of the other vehicle, 40-year-old Mark Sokolowski, was arrested and charged with homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. With the holiday season winding down, Eau Claire officials are reminding residents of their Merry Mulch Christmas Tree Recycling Program. According to city officials, the recycling program will be open through January 31st, and the service is free for any Eau Claire resident to take advantage of. The green waste facility that will accept the trees is on Jeffers Road, and parks officials are reminding residents to remove all of the lights, tinsel, and ornaments before bringing it to the recycling center. The mulch will be used for gardens or as fuel. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In typecasting news, actor Jared Leto will play the role of Skeletor in the new live-action film Masters of the Universe. Leto is embracing the villain role as the skeleton who is a skull-faced archenemy of He-Man. The Oscar-winning actor and star of Dallas Buyers Club has agreed to join the project alongside director Travis Knight. Cast members already in place include Alison Brie and Idris Elba. Leto embraces playing outlandish characters. MGM Amazon is the studio behind the film, which opens June 5th, 2026. There are those who don't think COVID was real. 1923 actress Danielle Vasanova is not one of them. Vasanova starred in 1923, the Yellowstone prequel, and she was one of the first people to suffer from COVID-19 long before it became widespread. The actress said she was diagnosed with strep throat, but shortly after, her organs shut down, and she died for 3 minutes. Vasanova will star opposite Michelle Pfeiffer in a new Yellowstone spinoff called Madison. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Areas of dense fog today, with scattered showers lifting through late this afternoon. Becoming widespread and steadier rain through the overnight, we are looking at rainfall totals around a half an inch to three quarters of an inch, with a chance of a wintry mix and some snow falling tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, all. I am on vacation, but you're going to have Jimmy Costa behind the mic. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Any people are going to do it?
Welcome back to a special edition of the Town Hall Ball Show, our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tours Year in Review. Hear now more of the highlights of our great tours around Wisconsin from this past year. Everybody wants to love, and they wanna love. Everybody wants Welcome to back, live on location at the Davies Center on the beautiful University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire campus. This is the Town Hall Ball Show on Civic Media. It is Wednesday, April 3rd. Glad to be joined here by the Chancellor, the CEO, the head guy, the big boss, the Chancellor here, Jim Schmidt. Chancellor Schmidt, thank you so much. Your hospitality is amazing. We're here. The students, it's vibrant. The energy you get here, the positivity. And if anybody thinks that the world is going to hell in the handbasket, hang out with university kids, and you're hopeful.
Hey, I speak to, you know, service clubs all the time, and I tell them, if you're worried about the future of this country, and many people are, I say, come to Davies Center, go up to a table like I did when I secret shopped the place, decided if I was going to apply. Went up to a table full of students, and I said, can I join you? And I was dressed in a suit. They said, sure. I said, why did you pick Eau Claire, and what do you hope to do when you're done? And I just sat back, and I'm like, oh, my God. This place is amazing. Yeah. And I said, I must have sat down with the student senate by mistake. And I went up to another table, did the same thing, heard the same answer. And that's when I decided that this is the kind of place I wanted to be. And, you know, for the right kind of person, the energy, the vitality, the creativity that you get on a university campus, there's no substitute. So even with all of the things that we say how hard it is to run a university these days, it's the students, faculty, and staff that, you know, they electrify me. And I tell the people, you will leave here knowing that the country will be in good hands. People are afraid of this generation. I say embrace this generation. They've got great values. They're thinking about other people, and they want to know how they can make a difference.
Hey, Jim, so, can I
ask a question here?
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say real quick, we were joined by Trivi Olson, a senior advisor of Lincoln Project here on location. He is a grad and an alum of Eau Claire, and by StreamYard up the road here at Lake Wissota, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio every morning 6 to 8, also an alum of Eau Claire. Pat first, then Trivi.
I was just going to say, this has all been great, the cheerleading for the school. But we know what people, certain people out there, think not just of colleges and universities overall, but the people who vote on them. And we have heard people deep into, you know, Republican politics with Wisconsin roots talking about how you need to continually make it harder for people on campus to vote, for people associated with colleges and universities to vote. I want to know, I know you hear that. What's your reaction when you hear that, and what do you and what do student leaders at UW-Eau Claire do to try to prevent any attempt at forced apathy when it comes to taking part in the right to vote?
So UW-Eau Claire, as I said, 99% placement rate. We're more than preparing you for your first job. We're about preparing you for your life. You know, multiple jobs to be agile, but we embroiled into our mission is helping people to be good civic leaders, members of their community. Many of our graduates will be coaching the softball teams, will be on church boards, will be the ones running for city council, and we need people engaged in voting is the first step. It's the foundation of being involved in civic society. I did this as a college student. That was something I actually started a recall petition against a city council member in my college town because a proposal to move the polling place to campus died for a lack of a second. So I put my efforts where my mouth is. I'm proud that we have a polling place on campus. Students should be able to vote. It's up to them whether they vote where they feel like they belong, whether it's their college town or their hometown. That's been the practice that's always happened, and I believe that we need to make sure students understand the rules, understand what it takes to vote, so they're not disenfranchised when they go to the polls and find out they're not able to. So for us, it's about education. It's up to the students, and they decide. I would add that of all that placement record, 2 years, 32% of our graduates, all of our graduates, remained in Eau Claire. This past year, it dropped to 29%. The percentage of that class that came from Eau Claire High Schools was 4%. Tell me anything that's more important than the talent that we are able to bring to this community, to this region. The single biggest thing affecting our economy, and I heard this when I moved here, is the ability to get the right talent to move it forward. States like us in the Midwest need that young energy. Eau Claire is a community, the average age continues to drop with every census. We're still building elementary schools. Things are happening here, and other people can say it, but I know the university is a big part of it.
Okay, so beyond the radio audience that we have that's all across the state of Wisconsin, just checked on Twitter, we have 16,000 people watching on Twitter right now. So, and I'll tell you, yesterday when it was just Todd and I, it was only 7.1. So I think we know who's the draw here. Right. But, you know, so most of those people are outside
quite
the
low.
State. Yeah, quite low. It's quite low. So most of those people are outside of the state of Wisconsin, right? Make the pitch for people who are in other places around the country why they should come to Eau Claire, because I think a lot of them think, you know what, like, that looks nice until December rolls around and walking across that bridge would be pretty cold for me from coming from Florida or California.
Well, as I can repeat a story I heard from Regent Walks, former Regent Rocks, on December 26th. He and his wife were in Mexico City for a little Christmas break, and he said, "We're freezing to death. It's 43 degrees here." And I said, "Well, Dana, it's 58 in Eau Claire." And he says, "I know, that really ticks me off." So you never know what you're going to expect about the weather in the upper Midwest is what I'll say. But what I can say is people are making Eau Claire a destination. There's a reason why that talent is staying here. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a front page banner Sunday edition headline about five, 6 years ago around the Eau Claire Music Festival. And they interviewed people from all over the country who moved to Eau Claire, relocated from Austin, Texas, Chicago, Brooklyn, and Portland. And they said, why as artists are you coming here for the art scene, the music scene? And this is what's important. Said, those are all amazing communities. Many people think that's where everybody in the arts is moving to. But they said that that culture and that industry is already fully developed. It's very expensive to get started in any of these areas and communities like that. And here's what I want to point out. Do you want to be at a place that's become, or do you want to be a part of something that's becoming? And young people can write the script. They can create the Eau Claire in this region that they want because it's acceptable, it's accessible, and people support it. And that's what's cool about coming to a place like Eau Claire, either to go to college, to work at the university, or be a part of this amazing community.
Talk to Trigvy's point, Chancellor. Talking to Chancellor Jim Schmidt here at the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire, joined by Trigvy Olson from the Lincoln Project and Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio. Chancellor, to Trigvy's point, I think a lot of people around the country, not just Wisconsin, are looking at Wisconsin because this election is going to have big implications in Wisconsin, and we believe is going to be pivotal to who is the next president of the United States. For people who are not from Wisconsin, what do they need to know about folks who are going to be making this decision, particularly young people, particularly the value of higher education, public education in this state?
You know, there's a lot in that statement. And I just want to say I grew up in a small rural town in southeastern Minnesota, a town of 1,000. And this state is like a lot of other states. We've become more divided, and that's a problem. I think we need to find people who can bring us together. I mentioned earlier Governor Thompson was president of the UW system. I think that's something who invites everyone to the table to be a part of the solution. And I hope wherever we go, we can continue to kind of spread that kind of message. College students care. And, you know, you're right. There's probably more liberal people on any university campus, including this one, than there are real conservative people. But let me tell you, young people are smart. Mm. And we have a lot of conservatives on this campus, people of deep faith. Pick whatever you want to talk about it, and they are welcomed on this campus. Mm. I had an alum who was a Trump supporter, and he said, I'll bet I can't walk with my Make America Great Ahead at the homecoming event. I can't go. And I said, I'll bet you can. That doesn't mean people are going to agree with it, but you will be treated with respect and you will have the opportunity to share your point of view. That's what universities are about. They're not about indoctrination.
Right.
And people who say they are, they're wrong. Doesn't mean there aren't people with strong opinions, but we do a disservice if we don't talk about real issues and have real differences. And I will say that as we've passed legislation through a faculty senate that people think are just bastions of liberalism, when they pass their statements around equity, diversity, inclusion, in their definition, for diversity included political thought.
Exactly.
We need that at a university. And if we're truly what people say we are, I can understand why we don't get their support. But come here and experience it on this campus. Yes, you'll have liberals talking. Yes, you'll have conservatives. And you got a lot of pragmatic people in the middle that just want to make the place better.
Well, for me, it all goes back to, Chancellor, that bronze plaque on Bascom Hill, on Bascom Hall, on Bascom Hill at Madison.
That's not a hill. We got a hill, by the way.
Yeah. That is can actually, confirm.
They have a hill here, having walked up and down.
We have the strongest calves in the UW system.
I won't debate that. But it goes back to that, to paraphrase, you know, the winnowing and the constant winnowing and sifting of ideas, which by the truth alone can be found. You have to be challenged. And I think that our public universities do that better than anything. Doesn't mean it's going to change you. It's going to enhance you and make you a better human, a better American.
But you know what? I would just add something, which I think Chancellor Jim will like and Pat will appreciate. You know, one of the people who was also a mentor to me in terms of professors was Mort Cyprus. Mort Cyprus was chair of the 3rd District Democratic Party. I was literally vice chair of the College Republicans in the state of Wisconsin. And Mort Cyprus really took me under his wing and taught me immense lessons that were valuable going forward, even though we didn't agree on a lot of things. And whenever I would come back to campus when I was working for the governor, I would always stop to see Mort because there was a mutual respect. Yeah. And I think that tradition here at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and it may be true of other, I don't have anything else to compare it to, but it has always been something that's at the heart of this institution. And it was something that, you know, back in the day when Larry Schnack was the chancellor, he preached, and it's really good as an alum to hear you preaching that today, because
And I can confirm
it's
that.
It's just you know, who this country, it's who the state is and who this university is.
Pat? I can confirm that mentorship, value there from Henry Lippold, the late Henry Lippold, longtime legendary journalism instructor, who again, taught you to have a well-rounded view of the earth and of humanity, not just, you know, the who, what, where, when, why, and taught you how the right words matter. And you can't get the right words if you aren't staying up to date on the rest of the world beyond the blinders of your own little profession.
Chancellor?
No, I think that you'll find that. In fact, you'll find most of our faculty, certainly in political science department, students have no idea what their political leanings are.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I had a political science class and I had a faculty member step forward and said, this week, my goal is to convince you that we should have never left the British crown, that the American system is not what's right. And then a few weeks later, he says, now my goal is to make you all socialists. This was one of the most conservative people on my previous campus. But you knew how to teach by putting those things out there and forcing those things. Take a look at the issues, and then you make the decision for yourself. It's not what to think, it's how to think. The ability to think critically, mm-hmm. not just accept things that are stated or put on the web.
Yeah. Pat, we're getting close to the end of this segment here. Any last thoughts for you, Pat Kreitler?
Well, I mean, other than, again, I could not recommend high enough that folks interested in pursuing either, you know, where they're going to go to college or university or to, you know, to work, keep in mind this area's commitment to education. When, you know, we moved away for a time for Sherry to go to medical school, and then we could go any place coming back. But it was the commitment to education that we saw through school referendums and that we saw through this university community that convinced us that this was going to be our home. This is where we were going to put down roots. And you see that today in everything that that the chancellor said about getting young people, getting new people to move into this area. Despite all of the political divisions and, you know, somewhat hateful rhetoric out there on this issue or that issue, if you look at a community as a whole, you can see that what the chancellor and his team are doing here continues to explain why Eau Claire and the Chippewa Valley is attracting people the way it is.
Chancellor, about a minute left, a minute and a half before the break. I'm going to give you the last word on Eau Claire.
Yeah, on the same thought, I want to say I'm really proud of the work of the Menard Center on our campus, which has funding from the Koch Foundation, working on First Amendment free speech issues. We have faculty members from all walks of life really working on those issues. We tend to be the leader in the Midwest and in our system around civil dialogue and exchange. And our faculty are doing the hands-on research with our students and making sure students understand those issues. all points of view, not only welcomed on this campus, I'm specifically inviting you. Come anytime. I'd love to show you around, and you get a chance to share your ideas with us.
Well, it's been a pleasure. We're going to continue on here at Hour 2 here at the Davies Center at UW-Eau Claire. Again, thank you for the enormous hospitality. Trivia and I are going around the state figuring out what makes Wisconsin great. It's campuses like UW-Eau Claire,
yeah,
and quite
no
frankly,
further.
Chancellor, it's people like you.
Well,
I mean, cheerleaders 100%. For what's going right in this state, for spreading good news, for making us proud to be Wisconsinites. Thank you.
You're very kind. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Chancellor Jim Schmidt of UW-Eau Claire, we're going to continue on with Trigvy Olson, a Blue Gold alum, and much more. Mike Johnson, Superintendent of Public Schools, Eau Claire, will join us as well.
You're listening to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show, our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour, Year in Review. More.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A 2023 decision in an Arkansas redistricting case found individual voters did not have a private right of action to challenge the maps. The state of Louisiana tried the same tactic in its chaotic gerrymandering case, but was refused on June 24th. Be looking for another challenge in 2025. Defying precedent, the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals held in a 2023 Arkansas racial gerrymandering case that individual voters do not have a private right of action under the VRA Section 2. It said only the U.S. Justice Department could bring such cases, despite individuals having filed 90% of previous challenges. Calling it radical, scholars expected it to be quickly overturned, but this January, the full 8th Circuit refused to rehear the case. Seeing an opening, Louisiana asked the full 5th Circuit to rehear its gerrymandering case on the same grounds, with 13 other Republican attorneys general urging a no private right of action decision. In a close vote Monday, the 5th Circuit refused that rehearing. For now, the 8th Circuit decision still only affects Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. But it's clear that private right of action is the new battleground and will almost certainly reach the U.S. Supreme Court. We've linked to more on the private right of action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show, our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tours Year in Review. Hear now more of the highlights of our great tours around Wisconsin from this past year.
Person of that pack, and he's still around, and the fact that Schwabe got him, that's a huge get. So congrats to Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Originates from this studio every weeknight. That's fantastic.
You want to, so, you know the comedy club that's right underneath on State Street where Civic Media is, you know, so it used to be a little further up State Street. I was in it when I was working down there in the early 90s. And they said, we have a special guest. We're replacing the main comic with somebody who wanted to come here and do some practice. And it was Chris Farley.
Wow.
And the funniest part of the whole thing is he's standing up there on stage. And all of a sudden he's like, Mrs. Johnson? And a teacher who had failed him was in the audience.
Oh my gosh.
And he brought her up on stage and he was kind of giving her a bit of a bad time. And she just started giving it right back to him. And he didn't know what to say. She's like, Christopher, I always knew you'd be a success. You weren't stupid. But it was just a crazy, everybody in the audience was just like, okay, this is the craziest night ever.
Anyway. Chris Farley, one of the things that also makes Wisconsin great.
Oh,
right?
100%.
All right. What else makes Wisconsin great? Board Game of the Week. Time once again for Board Game of the Week with Aaron Zommers.
Once again, for the Board Game of the Week, the segment where you hear Aaron's Board Game of the Week. Pretty self-explanatory. The board game for this week, though, is a very special one. It's another part of what makes Wisconsin great.
one of the best, one of the most famous, one of the most influential games ever created by human hands, and originates from here in Wisconsin, in Lake Geneva, Dungeons and Dragons. I know we've talked about it
that
a little bit.
That started here?
No way.
Yeah, Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, made Dungeons & Dragons. And in 1974, they started printing it and selling it to people because they're like, man, this is insane. This is so good. They took their love of miniature war games where you, you know, simulate battles historically and their desire to create stories together and just hang out in a more fantasy setting and put it together. And what they created is synonymous with role-playing games at this point. Like they, its legacy speaks for itself. And if anybody thinks Dungeons and Dragons is too nerdy for them and hasn't tried it, I urge you to reconsider because, I mean, as we've seen, it's had a huge cultural resurgence.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that show.
Stranger Things,
kids, my kids are both part of the Dungeons and Dragons. Really? Club. They love it.
Wow. I've played it for years. Basically, I was in elementary school, and when I'd hang out with my friends, we'd basically do the same thing and not know it, like without dice, where we'd just be like telling stories together and whatever. And then we found out, man, we could do this and roll cool shaped dice and stuff. Yeah. And you can find the rules for free online for the just basic game and just give it a shot. It's so much fun.
That's really and great. There you got it. There
I
you
have
go.
Here
there you
go. From one of my friend's dads, an old player's handbook for Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. This is from 1980. This is not the original 1974 printing. Those are pretty hard to find at this point. But still, the D&D Player's Handbook by Gary Gygax, TSR Games, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. So this this is one of the first like books that really made the game popular. And it also, there's a game, probably the biggest board game convention in the world, Gen Con, originally started in Lake Geneva and by Gary Gygax, one of the two main people on D&D. And he, it really blew up because of Dungeons and Dragons. Originally, Gen Con was for those miniature war games I talked about earlier, but now Gen Con's too big to be in Lake Geneva and it's in Indianapolis. But it's still part of what makes Wisconsin great because of the history.
There you go. Hitherto unknown facts from Aaron Zomers. How much does it cost if you want to get little Dungeons and Dragons?
Potentially free. You could just do the rules online. You can use an online dice rolling app. But if you want to have a book, you're probably going to spend a book and some dice. You're probably going to spend around $50. But it gives you endless fun and it's totally worth it.
Dungeons and Dragons, your board game of the week. Nicely done, Mr. Zomers. To quote Johnny Carson, I did not know that. So there you go. Dungeons and Dragons right here in Wisconsin. Before we wrap things up, a reminder that Maggie Dawn is next across the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to thank Civic Media for allowing us this opportunity to travel all over the state this week. It has been absolutely fantastic. We appreciate everyone, Sage and Catherine and Luke, and especially Mr. Aaron Zomers back at the studio. Shout out to our friend Chris Andrews, who has been a segment producer all week. She has been fantastic. Thank you to our host, Culver's in Richland Center, also the Radisson in downtown La Crosse, University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire in Eau Claire, University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point in Stevens Point, and our great staff and great folks here at WGBW in downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin. Shout out to the Hamptons, Hampton Inn as well. They have been fantastic all this week. And a special shout out and thanks to my co-host for the week, the great Trigvi Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Trigvi, thank you for doing this. We're a little tired, but in my opinion, we're a little bit better off because we've gone out there, and I wish more elected officials would. If you take time to get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out that Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd.
It is.
It is. It's just such a fantastic place. And honestly, there's so much to cheerlead about Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And there are real problems that need to be solved. We need to elect people who want to do that, not just ones who are looking at what office can come next on the ladder. Not ones who have wanted to be because maybe dad or mom told them, hey, you can be.
Yeah.
And that's going to wrap up our What Makes Wisconsin Great Year in Review. Thank you so much for being with us today. Also, a huge thanks to Trigvi Olson and Jane Matnair for going around the state with me this year, and to Mr. Zommers for doing all the hard work back here at the station to keep us on the air, and of course, all of you for listening. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new show. Mr. Zommers and I live from the World Headquarters in Madison. Have a great weekend. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you then. And your day will come. Keep banging on, banging on your drum, and they will hear you. This is 93.5 The Tap. Dom Salvia. Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, the Law Review, will join me to discuss if the president-elect should be disqualified under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. Tune in. The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Federal officials say the United States saw an 18.1% increase in homelessness. Donald Whitehead with the National Coalition for the Homeless.
Congress has been asking HUD for those numbers. So the point in time count started back in 2007, and this is the largest increase in history.
A grand jury in Brooklyn, New York, has indicted the man accused of lighting a woman on fire as she slept on a subway train. Eric Gonzalez says 33-year-old Sebastian Zepeda will be brought to justice.
Today, we take our first significant step towards pursuing justice.
Zepeda faces multiple counts of murder and arson. Severe weather warnings across parts of the South are causing travel problems.
We know that there are more storms coming across the Southeast, so certainly something important for folks to keep in mind. You know, this weather can change quickly, and it can be very, very powerful.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon. Local.